If you have a, if you want to follow in your Bible, just to, for accuracy, or if you want to watch the screen, I want to speak to you about the great adventure. And I trust that what I'm done here this morning, that the Lord will make something real to you, something special, something precious. I'm grateful for the gospel. The gospel is why there's 10 people or 10 and a half people getting baptized. It's because of the gospel. My life has been changed by the gospel. That glorious, wonderful message. And with that message, the call to the greatest adventure of your whole life, and that is following Jesus, living a life for him. And if you catch this, if you understand that it's not about fire insurance per se, you know, going to heaven, those are wonderful things that are put on it as well, and they come along, as it were, as extra things. But they're not the essence of it. The essence is the message, and the essence is the person that we try, that we proclaim. And getting to know him better and better and better and better and better and better. What a journey. What a great, great journey, especially when we can journey with other people. So I want to read from 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 14. Then I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 15, where it just talks about this gospel thing. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent, this is, by the way, this is the basic message, right? That God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. That's the message, right? That he loved God, that we loved God, and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That's the message. And thus, that's the adventure that goes with that. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm just going to read a verse ahead of time. It's just because it has the word gospel in it. Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel that I preached to you. Now, that's, now drop down, since he's told he's talking about this gospel message, for verse 3. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared with this, that he appeared to Cephas and also to the 12, and he appeared to 500 brothers at the same time, and it goes on, carries on. What a wonderful path. This, he says, this, I preach this gospel to you. So we want to be really clear on what the message is. What is the message? Well, sometimes, if you remember Marshall McLuhan says the medium is the message. And he's right, of course. But we have a unique message ourselves. And sometimes that message is the message. I say, what are you saying? Well, I'm simply saying that you don't have to be pure and loving or winsome or sincere or have good breath or smell nice. You don't have to have any of that in order to yell fire in a crowded theater. You don't have to. In this case, the message is the message. You yell fire, you say, what's the message? You don't know what the message is? The message is fire. That is the message. And so it speaks into our hearts that there's something here that's basic about the message. And you know it has basis. That's my printing and Val trying to... I think I'm speaking in tongues or something. So anyway, it's basic. What is, if the message is the message, Then what is that, and how does that affect us? Well, in simple terms, we believe. We believe that God is the creator of the world. This is part of the message. We believe that he took on human form. He became incarnate, in other words. And he lived among us in Jesus Christ, who was equally God. We believe he died on the cross and was raised from the dead, and that his spirit is now in us and with us. Now, the reason I'm speaking on this morning is because 10 people are getting baptized. Somewhere in that number are getting baptized. And somehow they've listened to a message. Somewhere a message came. I believe it was this message. And I would go as far as to say that if it isn't, if you don't believe this message, this basic message, then you probably shouldn't be baptized because you're unclear. Some of us who are veterans around here, don't mention any other names except my own, but we were having a baptismal service at Ambleside one year. Ray was reminding me of it this morning. And we were just kind of doing our thing. There was Benny was there, Bill McCauley, there was different people were there, and it was a good time. All of a sudden, my wife Val, she's on the shore, and this individual, get really caught up in what we were proclaiming, said, because you have believed and because you have received that Jesus Christ is Lord, and because God has raised him from the dead for you, upon that we now baptize you. So he's getting caught up in the message, so he takes off his shirt. He drops it. Takes off his socks and his shoes. Takes off his pants. And Val's moving away from him. She wasn't sure how serious he was about this baptism, this baptism thing was. And then just in his Stanfields, he marched out across to meet us out there. And everybody started cheering on the sand. They were cheering because they thought, this is wonderful that he's, responded to the message. And he comes out to us, and I'll leave his name up. I said, it's so good to see you. You've come to believe the message. No, I haven't. I believe that Jesus is one of many ways. I believe that the Hindu way is right, and the Buddhist way is right, and the Confucius way is right. It's all right. I'm just covering the basis. I said, do you not believe that Jesus is the one who God raised from the dead and died for you? No, but I appreciate it. Just adding, and I said, I can't baptize you because for us there's only one message, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. This is the way of salvation. The message is the message. The gospel, the evangel, the good news. It's all good news. And so there wasn't good news for him because he said, no, I couldn't possibly make this exclusive. I can invite a few things else in my life. And with a saddened heart, he had to walk back. Although we did pray a blessing. We said, listen, why don't we pray a blessing on you? I believe that the very least, that's what God would want. And that through that blessing, that the goodness of God would lead you to repentance. And so I believe he came to know the Lord before he passed away. But that was a Sunday we won't forget because it was about the message. That the people on the shore had accepted this message and it made it their very lives. The message was their life. Everything was about that. So the fact that God has a plan for our lives and a purpose, but it starts with the gospel. So we tell it like it is. And this is thus our dilemma. How in the world do I describe to people in the 21st century as an individual, how do I possibly tell people what it's like? How do you communicate this thing? How do you explain it? Because it sounds, when you start off, Jesus loves you and he died for you, but it seems so inadequate. We struggle with the message, not over believing, at least most of us don't have trouble believing it. It's that how to convey it, how to live in it and live it out. Because it's not about just giving your heart to Christ, it's about Christ coming into your heart and living his life through us and in us and around us and out of us. But here we are in 2011, trying to make sense to people what this message is about, how to explain it. How do we say that it's not really about going to church, although we're glad you're here? But it's not really about that, is it? I don't think so. It's about the gospel. Well, how do we convey it? How do we tell it? We stumble over our words. We stumble and we stagger under it, trying to make sense. See, the word itself means good news, gospel. So when we say full gospel, it's full of good news. And that message, that's the evangel, the good news message. And it's unique to Christianity. I don't think any other message anywhere in the world would have that word in there. It's the gospel, the good news, that God is not angry at you anymore and that you can come home, that you can live. He can come into your life and he'll live inside of you. But here we are struggling. You know, you meet somebody new and you get talking and then I get talking too much and I'm trying to explain the book of Revelation. Oh, God, why do I get into that? You know, you get way off because what really I wanted to do was to explain how much God loved them and about this new way of living, this adventure, the great adventure, and to can explain it so somebody says, I get it, and I'd like to give my life to the Lord. I want to enter into that life. I want Christ to be in me and me and to be in Christ, as 1 John talks about and 1 Corinthians alludes to, this great message, gospel message. So here's what I'm surmising, I'm just suggesting this, that if the gospel is to be good news for people, it has to say certain things, right? It has to say certain things. What does it have to say? Well, here's a line. It has to say, welcome. You are one of us. Somebody comes in the door. That's got to be the first thing that they sense. That we say, not just by our words, but by our very being. Say, wow, it's good to have you here. Welcome. We're glad that you're here. You're one of us. You've come. We welcome you to come and be with us. You're home free. That's what else we would say. Not in so many words, but by attitudes. And as we communicate this, you're home free. Come on in, friend. My friend. Well, I don't go to this church. That's fine. Welcome anyway. Well, I'm not sure if I'd like to be a Christian. Doesn't matter. Why don't you hang out with us? Why don't you drink coffee with us? Why don't you go on outings with us? Why don't you join a small group? Just be a part of us. See what you think. See, these are the types of stuff we say. We're saying, come on in. And that is an invitation. They can feel that and sense that. And we go on to say, we accept you and we include you as you journey towards Christ. And we believe that everybody, see, this is I guess there is a basic assumption. We believe that everybody's on a journey, that the Lord is drawing them. Do you not believe that? I believe that God is drawing people. I assume that when I share anything with them, I assume that God's already been there ahead of me. How do you know that? Here in his love, not that that we loved him, but that he loved us first. That's how we know. That great love of Jesus is what we want to share with people. So we want to include you. So I think this is the basic message that we've got to get out. Welcome. This is who we are. This is what it's about. It's not about anything else except that a man hung on a cross for us and rose from the dead and now lives in us by his Spirit, and we haven't recovered it. And the great adventure is to tell as many people as we can with our lives, to build relationships and somehow tell it over and over and over and over and over again so nobody can ever miss it, that Jesus gives you free salvation and you could come to know him. Oh, so touches my heart even as I'm speaking here this morning. So it reminds me of a piece of communication. I've enjoyed this for 40 years. But it was written on a New York subway, and I suppose by a 9-year-old boy thinking he'd write the most private thing he could ever write about from his heart that anybody would know about. So he writes this on the wall in chalk. I love girls. I love girls. Unfortunately, he spelled it wrong. And what he actually wrote was, I love grills. Somebody else came along, you know how graffiti walls are. Somebody else came along and wrote, it's not grills, stupid, it's girls. But here's what else somebody wrote underneath. Yes, but what about us grills? What about us grills? See, there is. That has to do with the message. That all the grills in the world somehow know that this Jesus loves them and cares for them and wants to come into their life. What about us grills? Yes, you too. You don't feel you fit and there's no place else for you. Please give us an opportunity to live the gospel in front of you. And at the end of that time, if we have lived the gospel among you, if you say it's just nonsense, and those people are hypocrites, there's no truth among them. They don't love one another. He says, remember, he said, if you love one another, God is in your midst. He says, we sense nothing of the love of God. Then we can say, you gave it an honest try. And it was good for as long as you could fellowship with us. But with a sadness, you see, what about us grills? The people that maybe just don't quite fit the way we think they should fit, or they're different, or they got strong views. And so we deal with that all the time. But that doesn't change. We have to just think of some, pray harder and think of some new way to make it more relevant and make it more real so that people would hear once again about the message. You see, to me, the mark of the Christian is that he is the one who believes he's loved by God apart from performance and apart from credentials. That's the Christian. You believe that you're loved. See, that's our whole thing. We have nothing to boast about. There's nothing to be proud about here. We are just sinners saved by grace. But in that saving, we've discovered the pearl of great price. And we've discovered that there's honey in the rock. That this is the best way to live, albeit the only way to live. To live for Christ. And to enjoy his people and to have his love in our hearts. But that's basically, we see ourselves as loved by God apart from credentials and apart from performance. So we've got nothing to brag about. So then if we are to be loved simply by the grace of God in Jesus Christ, and I hope I can make this clear, then we must communicate to the other person that he or she is so loved. See, the fact that I am so loved, and I feel it, and when they were singing this morning, my tears came to my eyes because I felt that love this morning as you guys were singing and ministering. And I thought, if I have no credentials and no performance there wherewith to be proud of, simply the fact that I was included by the sheer grace and mercy of Jesus who wanted me to be part of his family, then if that's true, then we must communicate that everybody we meet is thus so loved, like we are, just like we are. And we're stunned by it and we enjoy it. That people are loved by our Savior. So wonderful. Now, so the grills are included. I've told this story before that I'm about to tell you, but it's, to me, in my mind, it says volumes. There is a couple of authors, well, back in, I think it was about the 70s, maybe early 70s, Keith Miller and Bruce Larson, but they, Bruce Miller tells this story that he was, he bought a motorcycle, even though he was on a freeway drive. He bought this motorcycle, and he was taking it away to work. And on his way to work, there was a shortcut off the freeway through kind of a swampy part, and then finally picked up again and took him into town. So he's on his motorcycle. He turns off the freeway, and he's going through the swamp and through the rugged wooded area there, just off-road. And just all of a sudden, he sees a turtle pull in front of him, like on the road. There's a turtle crossing. And so he slams on the brakes, and he's going to take the turtle, he's going to pick it up, he's going to put it down out of the way so nobody would run over it with their bike. So he puts the turtle down, and then on second thought, says, I won't put the turtle down, I'll take him with me. Picks up the turtle again, puts him in his coat, and goes on through the swamp, hits the freeway, goes into town, and his office in a high-rise building. He said, you know that turtle experienced some amazing things. Said it was a kind of a Friday. It was like a Friday. It was a party day in the office, and so they had the guitar. So the turtle is sitting there in this tray, and he's hearing music, guitar music, and singing, and the smell of women's perfume, and topography and carpet and air conditioning. He's experiencing all these things. It's just amazing all that's going on. Carpet, food, lettuce, and little tidbits and bits of bacon and everything else. And everyone is petting his shell and talking to him. And he can feel the air conditioning. He can feel the carpet. And so all day long, he's in that atmosphere. And Miller says, at the end of the day, it was time to go home. So he said, I picked up the turtle, put him in my coat, and drove back, went off the freeway, went to the exact, precise spot where I had picked him up. The exact place where his little foot, where his feet, where he crossed. He said, I put him back down, and he continued on. He said, I couldn't help but think for as long as that incident happened. When he gets back to his people. You know, there is no way he's going to be able to explain perfume. There's no way he's going to be able to explain what air conditioning is and lettuce is and music is and riding in an elevator is and being on a motorcycle. From that point on, he'd have no other choice. He would always be known as Crazy Charlie. Always, always, always he'd be known as he says, you know, let me tell you the time I... No, you're a nutcase. We don't want to even listen to you. But isn't that us? We're Crazy Charlie. Somehow, because we've experienced something that we didn't own, it wasn't ours, we're just gifted by it. And if Charlie was known by all the other turtles in the swamp as Crazy Charlie, you can at least be sympathetic to why people said, I don't get this. I don't get why you would go to church. I don't get why you'd read the Bible and memorize Scripture and sing songs and get up at 5 a.m. to go to church and to get practice stuff. And you know, I don't get that. Doesn't make sense. Why? What is this? And of course, they can't possibly know until because it's better felt than telt. Right? You have to experience the love of God in order to be able to share it with somebody else. But what a challenge! The message is the message, the gospel, right? That is, there's nothing else, it's what it is. But how in the world do we continue to make it effective? How do we do that? How do we get the message out? Because it is, it's a challenge getting this out. We want to spend the next few years, especially, and Marcel and I have talked at length about this, about how do we prepare our church that we can do a lot better job of reaching people who don't know the Savior. You know, really, and we want to include and expand that too. I'm not talking any program necessarily, but just, Lord, what would you have us do? Because we got a message that's so life-changing and so powerful and so amazing that everybody needs to know this, right? Unless you're not convinced of that, but I am. I'm convinced that everybody needs this message. And that if they experience what I've experienced, they would never be the same again. But what a challenge. So Jesus is calling people to live out the great adventure. That your whole life would be dedicated to try to make sense. Or even though people may think that you are Crazy Charlie as they listen to you. And as we become a Christ follower. See, it's not about going to heaven. It's about following Jesus in the adventure he has for you, for me. And we're thinking of creative ways and different ways that would just expose people. I mean, how did you believe? What were the ingredients that you came to believe? Because there must have been something that you said, this is the genuine thing. And I'm going to open my heart. And I'm going to put aside other views that I had in order to embrace this one. So the question is, how do we communicate the reality of Jesus Christ and this grand adventure? Because I do believe that there's a very real need for the life and message that Jesus brings as he comes into your life. He said he'll be with us and he'll be in us, as 1 John describes. Well, so it's not just a matter of believing that he died. He says through his spirit he comes and lives in us and will be with us. With us and in us. That's just mind-boggling. So if we're going to do that, then the insights that we have to guide us, and I'm just going to give, I've got four of them that I think if we wrapped ourselves around these things, we'd probably be quite effective. Again, I'm not talking about numbers necessarily. I'm not talking about, some slick thing. I'm talking about just ourselves being more effective and doing a better job of explaining the gospel to those that are asking about it. So, number one, we have to find a way of connecting the message to people's deepest concerns. All right, that's beginner stuff. But we have to find a way of connecting the message to people's deepest concerns right where they are. In other words, and Carl could say amen to this, that we must address the hurts, the habits, and the hang-ups, or it won't be relative at all. So right where somebody is, right? They're going through a divorce. They're going through, there's addictions in their life of all kinds, codependency of every shape. And so we find a way. By the way, do we have any precedent in this? Say, has this ever been done before? Yes, it has. You know who by? St. Patrick. St. Patrick converted Ireland and his band of people. I think there was 150 priests, Druid priests. I think if I read this accurately, I think over between 75 and 100 of them came to saving faith in Jesus, these chieftains. They were a wild, crazy people. We know that as Irish. We know a little bit what they're like. But St. Patrick came with a message, and why it worked, because they just got down to the very basics of what people were facing. And one after another, and pretty soon the whole nation was Christianized. I mean, how has that come about? It's an amazing story. So that's the same with us. We try to connect the message to people's deepest concerns, hurts, their habits, their hang-ups, whatever else it would be. Number two, we let people know that their feelings and their pain matters to the triune God of Christianity. See, that when you know if somebody's grieving, that our message is that Jesus cares about that grieving and that hurt, what you're afraid of. Your pain matters to God. See, that's got to be just basic, that people say, you know, I met these Christians and they visited me and they cared about me and they included me. And I began to realize that God loved me and he cared about me as well. So the triune God of Christianity cares. He loves you, warts and all, and he wants to help you. Now, this is the thing that we tell our unsaved friends over and over and over again. I'm sorry about your bankruptcy. Would you mind if we prayed with you about your finances? We care about your marriage and about you. Would it be okay if we just prayed with you that somehow a miracle would take place? You know, so what happens is they say, this is not the far away God. This is the God that draws near. This is the God that comes in. He's concerned, you know. So you're praying about my marriage. You're praying about my health. You're praying. Yes, we do that. Why? Because we have something understanding that Jesus cares about what you're going through. See, that's what we take with us when we leave here this morning. And all the people that we meet, somehow to convey to them that Jesus loves them and wants to help them. He's not against them, and he doesn't want to send them to hell, but you wouldn't convince me by what I hear from many Christians saying. You know, we need to remind them that they're going to hell. Yes, we do. Somewhere, some point, I suppose we do. But that's not the greatest felt need. It's a real need, but it's not a felt need. The felt need is, what am I going to do with my life? Sitting in front of a TV, drinking the night away. Just empty as all get out. As I've taught, one person said to me, well, I suppose I probably will be sent to hell, but it feels like I'm in hell. Yeah, that's how they feel. They don't need us coming along and saying, yeah, you're going to hell on top of it, you know. Thank you. Appreciate that. Maybe you could get my family back to me before I go to hell. You see, that's what I'm saying is that it's not that we're downplaying. That's a message, but it's not the felt message of the need of our community, of the people that we're talking to. They need to know that God, that the disposition of God is that if God be for us, who can be against us? That God is for us and for those people. And, enough said about that. Number three, we need to convey in some way that the power of the Lord gives them victory over terror and darkness and depression and fear. These kind of level things that they aren't about philosophy and theology. It's just down really low, that people who are facing great terror, unbelievable fears in their life, and darkness, and depression, and suicide, and they're just, just going through difficult things. So we're simply saying that, listen, this isn't just a gospel in word only. It's a gospel that comes in power, and that we will pray over you. Here you've been in the psych ward, or here you've been in the hospital, and there's just great darkness, and you feel the darkness, and you're afraid of things, and you're afraid of dying, and you're afraid of this, and you're afraid of that. And so what we do is that we lay hands, and say, listen, why don't we lay hands, and we will invoke the name of the triune God, the triune God of Christianity. We will invoke his name. We'll pray over him. I think I told you the story. I've told it at funerals lots of times. Caroline Jackson told me that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. My shepherd, she says, she says, my shepherd. Oh, I said, oh, that's really good. Get a phone call, but I go up to Burnaby Hospital and pray for someone who's afraid of dying. I get there, find out they're in a coma, which the person said, yeah, he's in a coma. Well, could you pray anyway? Yeah, what do I say? I don't know this person, right? I've never seen them ever. Well, I don't know, you could maybe think of something to say. But I see, all they said this is that mom was afraid of dying. So I get there and I pull the curtain around so they don't think, so they won't arrest me. Because, what is that guy trying to wrench one more confession out of the, leave the woman alone, you know. So I go in there and pull the curtain and I talk to her as if she was sitting upright. Only she wasn't, she was just in a coma. And they didn't expect her to regain it. So I said, I'll call her Mrs. Smith. I told her my name. I said, I thought maybe I could come and just pray with you. And I understand that this has been pretty scary for you, this dying thing. And I want to tell you about what Caroline had said. She said, I want to tell you about the Lord can be your shepherd. He's a shepherd, and he's the good shepherd, but he can become your shepherd. And so I prayed her through the sinner's prayer about the Lord. I said, and you can just place your hand in his hand and trust him from now on that he'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. That you must believe this. He loves you. And I said, I'm going to squeeze your hand, but you can, that's like him squeezing your hand. And so I slipped out. I'm just going to go away. And, excuse me. Could you come over here, please? Well, I thought, oh, sure enough, I've offended somebody. So I go over there, great two big guys, and they're crying. They said, would you pray that over our mom? She's in a coma, too. So I held her hand. This is the same day, right? I prayed that God would take away the fear and the terror, that the peace of Jesus would come. The Spirit of God would come and win this person, even though, because they said they think that she might be able to hear, all of them, they might be able to hear, but they can't communicate. So whatever you say, remember, they could hear it. So I'm sharing this powerful message. And I prayed it, and I was crying. These big guys were crying. And they said, thanks so much. And all of a sudden, well, what the blank do you have to do to get prayer around here? It's a lady sitting there. Well, I'm talking to you. You know, one of those games, just brash and out. She said, I've been listening to you praying for everybody. I suppose you're going to pray for everybody but me. I said, you want me to pray for you? Of course I want you to pray for me. Now get over here. So I go over. This is all the same day. These are pastor's dreams. This is the stuff you live for. And I went over there, and he said, I want you to pray exactly like you pray. Don't leave anything out. All that good stuff. And I prayed. And I went home and said, wow, thanks, Caroline. I got a lot of mileage out of that, I'll tell you. But it's the point I make that this is that the power of Jesus would come to that person, that there would be a difference after we prayed, that they say, you know, I was really something. I felt something change. Felt a peace. I felt hope. Something happened in our hearts, because every time we pray in the name of Jesus, something happens that's good. So that's part of this message. And fourthly, that Christianity gives outlets to share your journey. What are you saying? Well, it's like, in my mind, it's like nothing else. For one thing, you get to tell your story over and over and over and over again. I know part of Michelle's story, and I never weary of hearing her story, because she's part of the body of Jesus, and that's her story, and it's an ongoing story, right? It's an ongoing story, as all of our stories are. And this is where we get to. This is the advantages that we somehow convey this to people, and we tell that story through storytelling, as in testimonies, or through oratory, sharing, speaking, giving your testimony, drama, songwriting, right? These are opportunities. When you come into the body of Jesus, it's pretty powerful. Serving others, meeting new friends, learning to know about the Lord and His love, having fun together, just enjoying the journey. Dave Campbell said to me something a few weeks ago that he was sitting outside here, and I was away. I wasn't at the door. Anyway, so he's sitting there, and he said, "I thought I saw you coming." He said, "There was a guy who looked like you, and he's coming from the mall, and he's coming towards the church." And he said, "He's in the semi-dark." He said, "Oh, and I thought that was you. And I was just going to call out to you." And he said, "Only you didn't stop because it wasn't you. You just kept on going, and I saw this guy kind of shuffling past." And this is what Dave said. "I'm so glad I'm sure glad you obeyed the gospel. Because I was thinking, if that was you and you'd never heard the gospel, you're just shuffling past. Just heading home, maybe from drinking a few beers over at the fair, and that's it, that's my life. No lives being changed. No difference to anybody. Just shuffling, shoulders down." He said, if the gospel wouldn't have come to you, that would be you. Making no difference. Just living your life." He said, "Whoa, that's kind of sad." If that's what it would have been. See, we get called to this adventure. It's anything but boring. And I'm not talking about people becoming pastors. I mean just being who you are. As we share it with Christianity, gives you outlets that you fit. "For this I was born." Singing, writing songs, drama, action of all kinds and every shape, and going on mission trips and things. Because why? Because in the adventure, there's all kinds of these things. Right? Serving others. Imagine that. If you wouldn't think of how many people, some of you have been helping, reaching out to so many people, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Well, I say that because that's part of the message. When people say, "If I did accept this Christ, what would my life be like?" It'd be about this. I said, I guarantee you it will be a better life than what you're living, if you live it to the full. So when you make a commitment to the Lord, and you've seen yourself in need of a Savior, and a person gets baptized, it's not a matter of crossing the finish line of the Christian life. And I was thinking that this morning, that these people, when they come out, many would people say, "Whoa, they crossed the finish line." No, they didn't cross the finish line. They climbed out of the bleachers. And they got in the race. They got in the great adventure. That's what. And I would think that for our lives, boy, I'll tell you, if you haven't climbed out of the bleachers yet, that this powerful gospel message linked to a person who comes into your life, you're getting off your benches. Get in the game. That's the greatest. Get in the game. Don't allow yourself to just to kind of be religious, where you've got salvation, but there's nothing else beyond that. You're not reaching out to anybody. You're not explaining anything. I would say this. If you say to the Lord today, "Lord, I've been kind of watching the game and enjoying other people's adventure, but I haven't got too much adventure myself. Well, I think it's time to change. I think it's time that you ask the Lord to shake you up and to set you outside." And so you say, "Wow." So there is, I remember about these two babies that were in their mother's womb, twins. And the one said, "I can hardly wait to be born, because I'm going to see zebras and camels and penguins, and it's going to be so exciting when we're born." And the other baby said, "Don't be silly. Everybody knows There's no life after birth. Well, to that baby, that's what it would seem like. There's nothing beyond, but there is. And I'd like you to stand with me if you would. See, I can honestly say that Jesus and his plan and him coming inside of me is the best thing that ever happened to me. And it will always be the best thing that ever happened to me. When I'm 110, it'll be the best thing that ever happened to me. I just hope that I'm still got a twinkle in my eye at 110 that say it's about the gospel. Preach that message. Believe that message. Live that message. See, we got a job. We're trying to convince people of something. So they said, only the Spirit can do it. Yes, I agree. But the Spirit always uses people. How will we make it real? Does that not bother you that we have it? It bothers me because we... And yet, I can understand why they think why we're so crazy. See, people in our, who are home right now, except for our own people, perhaps, most people are not thinking about Jesus this morning. And we're saying, Lord, how do we tell a world in lost and dark world, how do we tell them of this glorious Lord? I'm looking forward to this year, Marcel. I think what our prayers and our talking has been in the right direction. We need to really focus on this. How to explain who Jesus is in a post-Christian world. It's a post-Christian world. 1967, most people would say, I understand. What do you mean? I could quote it to you what the gospel is. But we believe, 1 Corinthians 15, that God took on the form of a son, of a human, lived among us, is equally God, died, was buried, rose again. That's what they have to confess in a few minutes. They're going to confess that. They're going to confess it again. Because the message is the message, the gospel. And Lord, we pray that they'll never, you know, that they'll really get a burst of something and then stay in the race. Not just check it off. Saved, water baptized, oh, spirit baptized. Don't let that happen to you. And for we have to pray for a vibrancy because you can't create vibrancy. You can't hype everybody up so we're just all hyped up, but it's not any reality. The vibrancy has to be because something has been made real to us. So if we're going to be a church alive, really alive, at reaching out and letting people know their hang-ups matter to us, their pain matters to us, that there's an adventure to be lived, and you'll be writing songs about it, and you'll be writing skits about it, you'll be taking people on mission trips with it. This is a huge thing. It's a huge thing. And I want to say yes to the Lord with you again this morning. Let's say yes. Yes to him, yes to the journey that we'll never, ever recover. And we'll go drink some coffee together. But the gospel. Not religion. The gospel. Thank you. Marcel, come up again if you would. I know we did this a couple of weeks ago, but come up again if you would. Because I know it's on your heart, too.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you.
Father, I just come to you today. And I'm so grateful, Lord Jesus. So grateful that you saw me where I was at.
Yeah.
And God, you just reached down and picked me up. Pulled us out of the miry clay, saw where we were at. Father, you loved us so much that you gave your son to die for us, that we might be reconciled to God.
Yes.
And Father, it's not just for this few hundred people that are here, God. You loved the world so much.
Yes.
You loved Lynn Valley so much. You loved North Vancouver in 2000. Much that you died on that cross for each one of them, for our neighbors, Lord. And Father, your desire is that everyone would come to know the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And Father, we're all here, God, and you've saved us, and we see and we understand, God. And Lord, I pray as we leave here, Father, I pray as we sort of enter into the place that you have us, God. Father, we all work and live in multiple of areas, God. We're your agents, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And I just pray, God, that you will enable us to live this out, to love as you loved.
Yeah.
To give as you give, and just be Christ to a dying world. So, Father, I just, Lord, as Owen has said many times, I say, echo that. God, what you've done, we can never recover from. What you've done in our lives, God. Help us to share that, and give us a burden, Father, for that. Save us from our own selves of just wanting to sit in a pew or sit at home with the message. Put it on our hearts, God, just to share that with the world, I pray. Break our hearts, God, for the loss, I asked. God, we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thanks, Marcel. We're going to dismiss the service. Going to have a couple of people change the lids on this thing behind us here. So I want to thank you for coming this morning. I think if there's any prayer team people here, I think we should come and stay for a few minutes over here. I don't think you'll be in the way of the tanks. But if you're there, if you need prayer this morning, please come up to the front to this corner here. Other than that, we'll see you on the patio. God bless.